Hello, I'm Kiff Kiker, pastor of Booms Creek Baptist Church. We're so excited having you with us today. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope you'll discover that today, that you'll be uplifted and encouraged as we praise the Lord together.
Sing the words and last words.
Dear God,
soul shall make her boast in the Lord.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord.
The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Let us exalt his name together.
Let us exalt his name together.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. That's a good song we just sung there. I'd like to ask Brother Roger Landor to lead us in prayer. Oh, Brother Roger.
Father, we thank you that you are today, we God, your goodness. Father, we pray and give us our sin and help us walk closer to you each year in our lives. Forgive us for praying and we might pray a blessing for our neighbor. And he vows that he had a heart in this last week. We've seen his words, testing him, I just pray to do it. He's a good man. Father, we thank you for our church here. We thank you for the ones here. Father, many blessings you give us, God. Father, we pray that you'll be with us and guide us. Let us do your will. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Of scripture before we try to sing. I don't sing as much as I used to, and I can tell the difference. My voice don't seem as strong. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
This song is on a CD the Inspirations have out, and I fell in love with it the first time or two I heard it. But it talks about that dear friend that we have in Christ Jesus. And in his prayer, our former youth director mentioned how we have so many hurts, people sick and suffering, cancer and heart attacks and old age. And I submit to you that we need Jesus as a friend. I like the slogan that Bud picked, I think, some years ago, Jesus now more than ever. So you listen to the words and not necessarily the way I may stumble through it. The title of it is I Found a Faithful Friend.
Thank you.
goes deeper than the deepest place your heart has ever known. When you're standing in your darkest trial and it seems you're standing all alone. When the tears fall down like bitter rain and you're wondering if the sun will shine again. In the midst of disappointment, look around. You'll find a faithful friend.
Hey, listen.
He's walked through my darkest valley, shining light upon the lily by the way. He has picked me up and held me when I thought I could not face another day.
Hey.
When my heart has stopped its singing and my mind was simply searching for an end, I can tell you by experience I found a faithful friend. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than any brother ever can. When the ones that you have trusted prove untrue, on him you can depend. He will never fail or you down, and his love will help your broken heart to mend. So pick up the broken pieces and turn around, you'll find a faithful friend.
Woo! Thank you, Lord! Woo!
He's walked through my darkest valley, shining light upon the lily. By the way, he has lifted me up and held me when I thought I could not face another day. When my heart had stopped its singing and my mind was simply searching for an end, I can tell you by experience.
Yeah.
Hey, I found a faithful friend. Oh, I can tell you by experience. I found a faithful friend.
What a friend to have Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything. Everything to God in prayer.
Hey.
There's a friend that's closer than a brother, as Brother Fred read there. I believe that with all my heart. If you do, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. How many Bibles this morning do we have? Hold up. That's one. I was shaking with the devil. His face there. He's defeated through this word. Amen.
Amen.
Take that precious book you have and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Our scripture this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we take up our reading. Verse 3. Make that 2 Timothy, would you? Just on the next page in my Bible. 2 Timothy. All right. Chapter 1 and verse 3. I like how Paul starts out here writing to young Timothy. This verse, he said, I thank God. You know, we've got a lot to be thankful for this morning, don't we? And we thanked him today. I trust we have. We pray to God that we have said it. I thank you, Lord. And then he said, whom I serve. Oh, buddy, wait, we've got to serve him. through worship, through praise, through these beautiful songs. Paul said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing. And here Paul is praying young Timothy, protege in the ministry, because through Paul, this young man Timothy had come to know Christ in all of his fullness. Paul said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee and my prayers night and day. That's what we need more than anything, prayer. I need, you need, we all need prayer. Verse 4, Paul said, greatly desiring see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. That means that it's not hypocritical, it's real, it's genuine, it's not false. Unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on of the hands, of my hands. For God, now this is a great verse here. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Oh no, we can't be ashamed of. Give our testimony to the Lord. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord nor of his prison, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Ashamed of Jesus? No. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. I believe Paul is writing to Timothy here saying that the best is yet to come. So I'm preaching today on how to get the most out of life. You know, the Christian life is not one that's devoid of privilege. We have many wonderful blessings to be thankful for. And we know that by personal experience. I'm so glad that Jesus gives us the abundant life. He just didn't save us and put us in a foot race with the devil. Hope we come out okay. But he gives us the abundant life. John 10:10, he said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You know, we Christians, some of us, you know, we've got the life part. We've been saved, but we don't have the abundant part. But there's so much more now, thank God, than that first sweet day when we trust in Christ as our Savior. It gets better and better and better. The story is told of a man that was on a giant ocean liner, and he was traveling from London to New York, and every day he was up on the deck and he was eating cheese and crackers every day, same thing. And finally, on the last day of the journey, it said that the officer of the ship came up to him and said, how come you're not eating downstairs in the dining room with the passengers? And he said, man, I can't afford that. And the man said, sir, said, you paid for that when you bought your ticket. the meals were included. And you know, that's kind of like us sometimes. We're living on crackers and cheese, but God wants us to have an abundant life. Jesus not only adds years to our life, but life to our years. Amen. Sweet friend, we need to stop enduring salvation, or start enduring religion, start enjoying salvation.
Yes.
Because, friend, the Christian life is not just drawing your breath, drawing your salvation. It's a life of joy. There's victory in Jesus.
Yeah.
Victory in Jesus. Little Evie sings a song, Live for Jesus. That's what matters. And it does. It is. I believe Paul is telling, first of all, Timothy here to remember whose you are and what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We could just see that, just what happened when we got saved, just what we have in Jesus Christ. You know, we're a spiritual millionaire.
Amen.
Thank God. Sometimes we say, well, I'm just a little pauper, just a little weak worm in the dust and bemoan our circumstances. No, we're a child of the King.
Right.
My Father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world. And though exiled from home, yet still I may sing, oh, glory to God, I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
Thank God for that. So we need to remember who we are. And thank God that we are on the Lord's side. That can take care of our inferiority complex. Bless God, we're not a pauper. We're a prince. We're somebody. Now, maybe others don't think that you're not your own. You're bought with a price.
Right.
And regardless of what happens with the president, or regardless of how bad it gets, or what goes on at Wall Street, thank God we're on the winning side. Remember whose we are, what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that we have, it's all in Jesus. It's all in Him. Several years ago, there was a man by the name of A.B. Simpson who went to hear Waddell Moody preach. He wanted to find out what was the real secret of the Christian life and how that he could get to know the Lord better. And Ira Sankey, the music director for Waddell Moody, stood up and said, we're going to learn a new song today. And it goes like this. All in all is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. Maybe Simpson said, that's it. Just like a light coming on. And he left. He didn't even stay to hear the message. He left and went out. And he said, that's it. All in all is Jesus. And he became the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance. A.B. Simpson did. And so it's in Jesus. Bless God. And there are three things now. Remember who you are and what you have. There's three things that we have. Three things. Regardless of how bad it gets, we've got these three things. Number one, as a Christian, we've got the blood.
Amen.
We've got the blood of Jesus Christ that's been applied to our account when we got saved, when Jesus came in, when we received the wonderful Christ as our Savior. You know, no matter what bad things happen, we have the blood of Christ. Thank God for our song books that still have the nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Oh, thank God for the blood.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but what? With the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so that blood continually cleanses. The Bible says, blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's a continual cleansing, just like a coal mine. If you've ever seen one on TV or somebody coming up out of the mines there and they're just black all over, but those eyes are just as white as they can be, the coal white. There's something going on there that's continually cleansing those eyes. And thank God the blood of Jesus is cleansing us today. We took the Lord's Supper just recently, and the Lord's table reminds us that he took the cup. Aren't you glad he did? Aren't you glad that he paid the price?
Amen.
Every child of God has the blood. The blood will never lose its power. Number one, what do we have? We have the blood. Number two, we have the book. We have the precious Word of God. And heaven and earth may pass away, but God's earth, the Word, will never, ever pass away. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. It may not be settled down here. Some of us heard things said Tuesday night that wasn't according to the Word. Trying to elevate the Constitution above the Word of God. Hallelujah. We've got the Bible. Hallelujah for the Bible. We have the book. We need to study, love it, read it, meditate upon the precious book. Somebody today maybe read their horoscope. I hope not in this crowd. But if you did, you're one of 40 million people. 40 million people read the horoscope today and said, but did you know we're also told that only 8 million today read God's Word? We need to read the book, dear people. I'm afraid to claim this thing of Bible study. And how do we expect to grow without the Scripture, without the Word of God? I heard about the one man who was a devout Christian, and his motto was, no bread, no Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. And so we need to read our Bible readings. We've got open windows. We've got daily devotions that are provided that you can avail yourself of. And so we need the strength and encouragement that it gives to all of us. Discipline ourselves to do it. We have number one heart, the blood. The blood. Number two, we have the Bible. Number three, we're talking about remembering whose we are and what we have in Jesus Christ. Paul said, Timothy, he said, remember that faith that was planted by your grandmother and your mother. The Word of God, the book, and the blood of Christ. And then we have the blessed hope. Looking, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you looking for Jesus? He's coming again. I don't know when. I'm not on the program committee, but I sure want to be on the welcome. I sure want to be on the welcoming committee. Amen. Amen. I don't have a red circle drawn here in my Bible, you know, about the date that he's coming. No, but we need to live as if he died yesterday, rose this morning. He's coming back tonight. That's how we ought to do it. And we read that we need to remember whose we are and what we have in Christ Jesus. There's enough there to really go with. And then second, we need, Paul tells us here, to discover our spiritual gift and to use it for the glory of God. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. The gift, need to discover our gift. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. You know, there's talk about these today. And Paul, he wrote about it. 1 Corinthians, Romans 12, 1 Peter talks about these gifts. And I think I counted at one time about 20-some of these gifts that are supernatural gifts that's given by God. And there's three things we're told not to be ignorant of. We're not to be ignorant of the second coming, Paul said. We're not to be ignorant of the devices of the devil. And number three, the Bible tells us, we're not to be ignorant of spiritual gifts, and I think there's a gross ignorance on all of these subjects. And so Paul, in writing, tells Timothy, discover your gift. Stir up the gift that is in thee. And this is supernatural work. They're not natural gifts. They're not those kinds. But, you know, like, some people have certain gifts, certain talents, But there's a difference in a natural gift and a spiritual gift. Paul says, stir it up, use it, discover it, put it to work for the glory of God. Thank God for that. And what you can and you can do for God, what nobody else can do, because your gift is just as important as the next person. Little as much. If God is in it, amen. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown you can win if you go in Jesus' name. And so we need to discover your God-given gift and use it. Use it for the glory of God. Like I know people here that's got the gift of exhortation, which means to fire up, to encourage. Thank God for that gift, because every preacher needs it. They tell me, Brother Green, Gerald said, my gift is the love language is affirmation. I like to be affirmed. So there's nothing wrong with saying, preacher, I appreciate that message, because it was God's word. You don't brag on the preacher now, but you thank God for his precious book. It don't cost you a thing to do that. But you've got that gift that you can use. Some have the gift of teaching. Thank God for that. That's a spiritual gift. And there's people that are able to teach, you know, like maybe history, English, all of those subjects. But we're talking about teaching God's word. It's God delights in taking ordinary people like us and doing supernatural work. All these gifts are necessary. Your gift is just as important as mine. Preacher's gift needs to be prophecy, you know, preaching the word of God. And you say, you mean, preacher, you've got that gift? Well, I hope I have. I really do. You say, Pastor, you're a gift to the church? Well, I think so. Brother Bud, you were too, you still are. Said, boy, did we get the booby prize? We got those two feathers. I'm just kidding. Precious couple were older, and they had a little girl and a daughter. And this couple, they were poor, didn't have anything, and this little girl got sick. And the doctor told the parents that she's not going to live long. It's an incurable disease. There's nothing that we can do. And this is a true story. Hey, by the way, I won't tell anything unless I know it's true. Amen?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll joke around sometimes. But anyway, finally, the time came, they said we need to tell our daughter what's happened. She has a disease that's inoperable. There's nothing that they can do. And so they said, honey, we just need to talk to you. You know you're going to be the first one to see Jesus. The first one. You're going to go to heaven before we do. And they kept telling her, said, now we love you, but we're going to miss you. She said, you mean I'm going to die? And they said, yes. So they said she had a little crumpled and two little $1 bills. Crumpled up in her hand. And she handed those to the parents. And she said, take these $2 and give it to everybody. Now, you know you can't take $2 and give it to everybody. But they took those $2, put them in a box. And when she passed away, a little while after that, they put that box up in the closet. And the story goes that they were so brokenhearted, but they wondered what would we do with this $2. But then they started doing research to find a cure for this disease, and they worked and they worked and they hadn't found it. And so take $2 and give it to everybody, and this foundation gave these $2 to that fund. A Nashville, Tennessee newspaper picked it up and wrote a story about it. people read it, and they began to send money into this foundation to try to find a cure for this awful, horrible disease. And they finally, the time came that they found a cure. They found a cure because a little girl touched the hearts of so many people when they read that article and cured his family. And so this is what we need to do. It's just to discover what we can do. Not everybody can do the same thing, but we can do something. Whatever we find to do, we need to do it with all of our might. Then thirdly, I better hurry. What went with the time? We need to share our faith with others. Look at verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7 and 8. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and sound mind. Be not thou for ashamed. And this is our point we're making. Share your faith. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prison, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. People who know go to people who need to know Jesus, the psalmist said. And so we need to tell people about Jesus. Everyone who knows God will tell others what the Lord has done for them. And they will not come. They must be brought. They will not see. They must be sought. They will not study. They must be taught. And that's why we have Sunday school. That's why we emphasize reaching others for Christ. We have prospects. Heard about a shoe salesman. We heard this old story. Went to Africa to sell shoes. Wrote back. Said, people don't wear shoes here. I want to come back home. But another guy went. And he said, I've never found so many prospects. And he sold those shoes. And so we need to know, in a world filled with spiritual darkness, the darker the night, the brighter the day. How many people are in heaven because of us? I mean, Dwight L. Moody, when he lay dying, you know what he said? He said, earth is receding, heaven is open. For God is calling, and I'm going home. And I see 750,000 people I've led to the Lord that are there to welcome. Think of that. Oh, Dwight L. Moody. I'm here because of you. There's joy. You see people say that. There's joy. Psalms 126 says, tells us that we're to go. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, the word of God, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheep with him. Well, there's people out there that need it so bad. That Tuesday night meeting off of Wake Us Up, pastor told me that he talked to a lady there, had all these tattoos, earrings, all rings everywhere. She had a satanic Bible sitting there. He witnessed to it. And she said, you know, I might come to your church sometime. I knew her granddad. He was a great educator. If I'd call his name, you'd know him. He passed away when he was about 9 years. And this was his granddaughter sitting there with the red shirts and all of the others. And I tell you, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. And then we need to live a Christian life in its course. Look in verse 9. Notice what the Lord said. Paul writing, he said, who hath saved us? Who hath saved us? I don't have time to finish this. I think we'll just come back tonight. Make these other points. How to get the most out of life. You want to get the most out of life. If you're a Christian, you know what we're talking about. This is today, an invitation of Christians. I want to live life to its fullest. I want to get the most out of life. Like Paul said, you're here. Let's stand with our heads. Get the head bowed and our heads. You need to become as a Christian. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. Come today. We will pray for you. We'll open God's Word. We'll show you how to go to heaven. If you're here, you want to join the church, we'd love to think about you. Whatever the Lord says to you. To Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the book. We thank you for the blessed hope. Thank you, Lord, for what we've been given. Thank you, Lord, the best is yet to come. It's not over yet. Yogi Berra said it's not over till it's over. Thank God for this Christian life that we walk. How sweet to walk in this pilgrim walk. Ring the doorbells for our Lord. Help us to go out in our community here, our deacon's retreat. We're going to talk about community. I told Terry this morning, Lord, you know what I told him. That I would help us have a block party. That's what we need to do. Reach people. God help us to join in the effort. Follow the Lord. Follow our leaders. Follow our deacons. God, thank you. Thank you for the privilege to be here today. So good to be saved. So good to be on the road. Bless now this invitation. Get glory to yourself. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Be your response, prompted by the Holy Spirit of God. God's leading. You come. Always sing. You need to be saved, you come. You need rededication of your life.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior, and you can pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, BoonesCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.